I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway. And check out how our next guest, former Republican California State Assembly leader Pat Nolan, who was once called Mr. Death Penalty, a conservative who visited more prisons than any other member of the state legislature to trumpet his law and order message, has had a bit of a change. In 1994, he pleaded guilty to racketeering after getting caught up in an FBI sting operation and wound up serving 2 years in prison. Oh boy, did that change his view. If orange is the new black, then reform became for Nolan the new law and order. And as he told me, the scales just came away from his eyes.
What I didn't realize was that I was getting a Potemkin village view, that I wasn't getting the real view of what actually happens in prison. And then I was charged with and convicted of a crime, essentially accepting a campaign contribution in return for a vote. I didn't do anything wrong, and I still proclaim my innocence, but God allows things to happen to good people. And I went into prison, and I served 24 months in prison and 5 months in a halfway house. And it really took the scales from my eyes. I saw what a joke it was that only lip service is paid. Our prisoners are basically warehoused, and they're cut off from their families. Visitation is very hard for those that can even afford it, which if they're cut off from their family and the people that love them, the only society they can function is among the criminal class. And obviously, the skills they learn to survive in prison make them more dangerous when they get out. As Newt Gingrich said, you take a low neighborhood street corner drug seller and put him in with a murderer or a rapist, which do you think is going to come out more like the other? It's pretty clear. So it really opened my eyes to how little was being done to prepare inmates. But also, frankly, as a Catholic, I was appalled at the disrespect for inmates as human beings. I believe in basic human dignity. No matter what somebody's done, they're still a human being, and they're entitled to respect.
Pat, I really appreciate your candor here, and I can't resist asking, because I think it does bear on the question of how broadly people can relate to this experience and can endorse reform. Has all of your experience made you a fan of Orange is the New Black?
Oh, yeah. I've met her several times. And people need to see the reality inside prison. And Piper has done that. I came from a good family. I had a good education. I'd been in leadership roles. As much as it pained me to be treated that way, I was able to take it. Mm-hmm. But think of the young kid that grew up in a poor house, maybe beaten, that ran away and lived on the streets, got involved in drugs, never had anybody hold them and say they love them. Think what that does to them, to be belittled and berated and be told they're worthless. They begin to believe it. And John, your question is really right. Do people have to go through what Piper and I did in order to change? I don't think so. I think what we're seeing, and I see it among members of Congress and members of state legislature, the great maw of the government dragging people in and imprisoning them. There probably isn't a congressman there that hasn't had a son, brother, a niece, granddaughter that's been into the system. And it's opened their eyes. And they're frustrated by it, but they are searching for ways to make it better. Sadly, as incarceration has increased, it's touched more and more families. Only 10% of the nation's prisoners are in federal prison. 90% are in the states. And, you know, people talk about the justice system. That's really a misunderstanding. We have 51 separate justice systems, each with their own criminal laws, each with their own set of punishments and imprisonment. So you have to look at each state individually. And there's been tremendous progress. And what we found is, especially in conservative states, a lot of Tea Party types, libertarian types, tax rebellion types are really upset at the cost of prisons and the fact, frankly, we aren't getting the public safety that we're paying for. The lead example is Texas, that back in the 90s decided we can't afford to build more prisons. We've got to figure out how to keep the public safe with less cost. And they passed a series of reforms that has resulted in now 8 different prison closings, a dramatic drop in the number of prisoners in Texas. $3 billion more to the general fund, but also full funding for mental health and drug addiction treatment. And they've done all that with the crime rate dropping to the lowest point it's been since 1967. So they've shown you can have safe neighborhoods at less cost and with fewer people going to prison. And North and South states have taken this on. So that's really where the action is. The publicity is all at the federal level, but the real action and real lives being changed is happening at the state level.
Let's talk a little bit about the question of conservatives. Is there a conservative mission on criminal justice reform, or is it a little bit of this, a little bit of that?
In fact, it's amazing the number of conservative leaders that have rallied around this and said it's a basic fundamental principle of conservatism that the government power should be checked. And the ability to imprison somebody is the most draconian sanction we give the government other than death. You know, they take you from your home, from your family, from your work, from your church or synagogue. They control what you do every hour of every day, what you eat, when you get up, what you read. That's a lot of government power, and it should be used sparingly. And conservatives believe the government has way overreached. We've criminalized so many things. In Texas, there are 7 different felonies on shucking oysters. That's just absurd. Felonies. So conservatives have had it and are saying enough. Obviously, harming someone else is wrong, but conservatives are more and more saying, hey, there are alternatives that hold people accountable, but don't have the destructive impact on the offender and their family. Also, victims. Restorative justice says have them make it right with the victim. That's the way to restore them, not sending them to prison, you know, where they earn 11 cents an hour sweeping floors.
So would you associate the rhetoric of Attorney General Sessions, who, of course, is affiliated with Alabama as a senator, was Attorney General of the state, would you say that's part of the signal or the noise on the trends?
Obviously, I've worked with Attorney General Sessions, and he's a fine man. I think, though, he's stuck in the worldview and the rhetoric of the 70s and 80s, and that's a shame. But others within the federal government, within this administration, are very supportive of reforms. I think you're going to see some very interesting initiatives coming from President Trump. But there's no doubt Attorney General Sessions has a different point of view. I think he exaggerates the increase in crime. We have all these states that have saved lots of money and still are safe. Why isn't the federal government learning from that and imitating it? We have people in Congress of both parties that are looking at that, and I think there's a good chance they will act despite opposition from the Attorney General's office.
Speaking from Washington, D.C., Pat Nolan is director of the American Conservative Union Foundation. Thanks so much, Pat.
Oh, thank you, John, very much.